W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A U.S. official confirming two people dead after a Black Hawk helicopter belonging to the Tennessee National Guard crashed onto an Alabama highway. El Paso, Texas police say one person has died and three others hurt in a shooting at a local mall. Buffalo supermarket mass shooter Peyton Gendron sentenced to life in prison without parole. It was an emotional hearing that included victim impact statements from family members of the 10 black residents killed.
In the end, the judge said that there would be no mercy, that his crimes were too cruel, too heinous, and she sentenced Peyton Gendron to what was required, life in prison without the possibility of parole after he had pleaded guilty to domestic terrorism.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Michigan State University campus gathering for a vigil for the victims of a Monday night mass shooting.
To my fellow students, my wonderful, amazing Spartans, it is okay to not be okay right now.
This is ABC News. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says there's more to do to help Ukraine fight the Russian invasion.
In NATO countries, a problem. Ammunition reserves are running down due to the handover to Kyiv. That means individual alliance nations will now have to pay for more to replenish those losses. Defense Secretary Austin.
We also discussed our progress in building up ammunition stockpiles and boosting defense industrial capacity.
A year down the road, we're still hearing the phrase, we'll support Ukraine for as long as it takes. But that point of view is starting to wear thin among some in Europe. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
West Virginia lawmakers giving the final approval to a bill that would establish an annual day of recognition for the plane crash that killed most of the Marshall University football team. All 75 on board died on November 14, 1970. When that chartered jet crashed into a hillside. Andy Field, ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check. Talk to doctor now and share.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor. Nearly one in two U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in four easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local civic media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways. A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bride does not believe in friendship. I don't allow them to compliment me back because I can't take a compliment.
I like your beard.
Shut up. I'm leaving right now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy hump day, happy Wednesday. We are here. We are in a great mood before the storm comes tomorrow.
The calm before the storm.
Hopefully we will be here tomorrow unless the weather keeps us from doing that, but... we're here live today. Jane Mettner, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you, my friend.
And Greg Bach, comedian, club owner, ZZ Top cover band impersonator. Do you like that one?
Which one of those is untrue? That's for the people to decide.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I had myself a cup of coffee.
A very full cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's very full. I don't know how to navigate a Keurig.
I was going to say, please don't spill that on your computer because...
I'm good. I've separated both computers. We're good.
We're good.
But yeah, feeling good. Feeling fancy.
All right. Well, we have a wonderful show coming up today in the news hour. Coming up at 11:30, the drama. Who says politics isn't exciting? Who says politics isn't as dramatic as Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Because the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and the antics happening, not just of political operatives, but of judges, that is happening right now in the 6 days we have until the Wisconsin Supreme Court primary, is entertaining.
We should call them the juicy judiciary.
Ooh. How long were you sitting on that one?
It just came to me, literally.
Nice.
Wow. That's...
the juicy. That's. I'm going to change the banner on the live stream for the topic name for the next segment.
They're not going to wear robes. They're going to wear sweatpants that say juicy judiciary on the back.
the matching pink sweatsuits.
Oh, my gosh.
From
yes.
the 90s. Was Please. It 90s or 2000s-ish?
I think it was 2000-ish.
Yeah, that was like a Paris Hilton... thing.
Annoying trend.
2003.
Oh, okay, Jane.
All right, so we're going to talk about that at 11:30. Then to round out the hour, we are going to... what would be the most surprising thing that could happen at the budget message tonight that after weeks of what's... this thing's going to be in the budget and this thing's going to be in the budget, being the Governor Evers' budget proposal, it is finally tonight when he will lay out everything that is in his proposal that will inevitably probably all get cut to the floor by the GOP. Yeah. But nevertheless, it is a chance to see what his priorities are and if he had a legislature that would work with him, some of the things that might get done. So we'll briefly touch on that. And there was a certain Republican lawmaker who said he wouldn't be surprised if Governor Evers showed up in a specific costume. And I want to know what else would you be... what would surprise you tonight if it happened?
Honestly, if like during his speech... if the Republicans weren't giving him the credit he should be getting, like the claps and whatnot, he just stares at him, he just goes, and his eyes start to fire up, and Oplander
just appears. And he's like, you'll give me the gosh darn respect I deserve. You hears me?
I do. If you came dressed as a superhero, that would be something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. But to start off, this was actually news yesterday, but we did not talk about this really yesterday. And it's been circulating of people knowing this was going to happen last week. It already broke. But Nikki Haley, rising star of the Republican Party, some might say, has joined the race for the 2024 presidential campaign. And so, just a brief, if you are unfamiliar with Nikki Haley, she is the daughter of Indian immigrants. She was South Carolina's first female and non-white governor when she was elected in 2010. She then served as former President Trump's UN ambassador for 2 years. And now she's the first Republican to challenge her former boss. Despite all of the chitter chatter about Ron DeSantis, she is the first person in the race. And let's play a little bit of her candidacy video.
Republicans have lost the popular vote in 7 out of the last 8 presidential elections. That has to change. Joe Biden's record is abysmal, but that shouldn't come as a surprise. The Washington establishment has failed us over and over and over again. It's time for a new generation of leadership to rediscover fiscal responsibility, secure our border, and strengthen our country, our pride, and our purpose.
I kind of dig the music. The background music's kind of like...
It's peppy.
It's like Nickel Creek. But for racists.
So, if you have opinions on Nikki Haley getting the race, we will take your calls and your texts. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96
Party.
But to start off with, do either of you have immediate reactions to this first challenger to the former guy?
I mean, to the former guy.
Is
I
that
like
what
that.
We call him?
The former guy.
Among other things.
Things we can say the former guy on radio.
We can.
I am not surprised. They've been talking about Nikki Haley for quite a while now. And to quote the Joker in The Dark Knight, here we go. I think it'll be interesting to see how many candidates will end up being in there. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that she's in it. I mean, she's listening to the people reading her polls, and she's going to put her hat in the ring. And I want to see how Donald Trump approaches this.
And see, that's where my mind went to immediately, because I am a bad person, is what nickname will he use for her?
I mean,
it's got to be something, you know, derogatory, because that's who he is.
But I wonder, because I think the Trump's campaign did respond saying something, not disparaging, but it certainly wasn't awful. But I was listening to Up First this morning, kind of talking about, you know, what each side is saying. And I think, you know, Democrats are like, she's a flip-flopper, she's establishment. And I think, like so many, the trend we're seeing right now, so much of the Republican Party is kind of split, both in our state and nationally. But it's hard for me, because she has the record of, in 2016, she was very vocally anti-Trump. And then she pretty quickly got a line.
Jump on board.
Once he won. And she's been this like middling figure that tries to like read the tea leaves on where she falls and all this stuff. And I just wonder if she got President Trump's blessing to run so that she, as a moderate Republican, can siphon off anyone who might be thinking Ron DeSantis is the guy.
I find it also interesting that you're referring to her as a moderate Republican.
I think that's what people consider her.
I mean, that, but in today's day and age, yeah, sure. Okay.
I mean, whether her actual work and policy has reflected that, especially as she's aligned herself with MAGA, with Trump and stuff like that. But as far as like what I would say her reputation is, is there's a lot of people, there's a lot of moderate Republicans who I think have liked her in the past.
Yeah, I also, but the thing, like, for me, though, is, like, the didn't like Trump, now, you know, bows at the the ultra of Trump is not an exclusive club. I mean, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, Chris Christie.
Elise Stefanik.
Yeah.
She like so publicly.
J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance. He was not as public, though.
No, he was. Yes, he was. He was a never-Trumper on the stage.
I thought with J.D. Vance, it was things that got unearthed as far as private messages
when he
was running for senator. But Elise Stefanik was already a congresswoman, and she was like part of the post-Mitt Romney, like, we need to reevaluate where we are as a party. And she was on the younger, obviously female side of, we need to broaden our message to people. And that obviously was not the way that the party went when Trump became the head guy.
Right.
And yeah. And then she just totally did an about face and now is
she is. That's just a big old room now filled with people who have thought like, oh, he's ridiculous. He's a clown. But now they're like, oh, we got to protect him for what? But yeah, I mean, if she called Trump to get permission or advice or his opinion, I'm wondering how he's going to use her, because he will.
Like,
he's absolutely going to use her. And, I mean, I don't know what nickname. The problem is every nickname I can think of are all based on her heritage, which are all, like, that would just be awful. I mean, I don't like Nikki Haley, but I don't want anyone making fun of her for her heritage.
No, but I'm thinking of Nasty Nikki. There's just some easy ones. And I think, Kristen, you make a good point. If he does not come up with a nasty moniker for her, then I am more inclined to believe that, because he attacks everybody.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't go after her, then something is up.
But I feel like the more people, just like 2016, the more people who jump into the 2024 race, the easier it will be for him to win the nomination.
Yeah. I mean, well.
No one took him seriously in 2016. And then one by one, people started dropping out. And in this situation, in so many of the polls, head-to-head, Trump versus DeSantis, there's a lot of people who like DeSantis.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of those people who like DeSantis and are kind of over Trump are the people who, as they get more options to choose between in a primary, that dilutes the vote for a DeSantis, and it leaves the people who still bow to the altar of Trump, who are not wavering, to get him it's not the majority, but enough of the vote to get through the primary.
Thank you very much. I think that with the passage of 4 or 5 years, I mean, first of all, like, look here real quick. This is the last thing I'll say. Predictions. How many candidates do you think will be in the field for the Republican nomination before they start dropping out, like the height?
10.
Jane?
I'd agree. I'd go with 10.
I'm going to say 13. Say 13.
Should we write this down so we can all come back and brag about who was right? I guess you and I have the same one, so it'll just be us versus you. All right, if you have thoughts on predictions on 2024 or reactions to Nikki Haley getting in the ring, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. We will keep this conversation rolling when we return. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Somebody has broken out a satellite too. Very carefully, it may be you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, And I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never just wanting to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 23 overnight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow tomorrow. Highs level off around 26, cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to around 12, clear skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 32.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, February 15th. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And since it's Wednesday, Mr. Greg Bach is here, as always, as the Wednesday co-host. And we are taking your calls or your texts on reactions to Nikki Haley being the first other candidate besides former President Donald Trump to jump into the 2024 race, and also just predictions. How many people do you think are going to be also challenging the guy that is a little bit weaker than maybe he seemed coming out of his presidency.
But as you mentioned when he first announced in 2016, everybody thought it was a joke. It was a joke.
Yeah. If we've learned anything, do not underestimate that man.
Yep.
We don't have to underestimate it. I don't think we should, but there are a lot of factors that went into that, and I just feel like this will be a different race. If Ron DeSantis decides to run, I don't think he's going to back down until the last minute he has to.
I think what's also interesting is like whom among the people who are going to run, who has a glass jaw? Right. Like can Ron DeSantis, and that's what's as yet to be seen. Like, can Ron DeSantis stand toe to toe with Trump? Because basically his strategy so far has been to avoid him.
Yes. Yeah.
To avoid talking about him, to avoid talking about a lot of besides the woke stuff, which, you know, the stop woke law, is he hasn't really gone toe to toe. And so I don't know. You said we have a text.
We do. Texter from the 262 checking in about Nikki Haley. She is a more palatable version of modern-day conservatives, someone who packages their message of intolerance and enriching the already rich in an easier-to-swallow pill.
The moderates.
Yeah.
I think the problem with that's, I think texture from the 262, absolutely right. You got to make yourself shinier and new. And that's what she did. She, like, that ad with the music and then, like, but coming just like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Coming at you just like with real negative information, just like, do you even like this country?
I will say I appreciate it as you talk, because I, unfortunately, and I hate that I do this, but to women, there's not that there's a ton of leaders that are women in the GOP that are, you know, high profile, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Nikki Haley being two of them. And I did think that as I was listening to Nikki Haley's ad, that at least it was a little bit more positive than that rebuttal or that response we heard last week.
Washington
to the State
has
of the Union.
Failed you.
We have some texts. We have some comments on the live stream. Joseph McClear, I could see 10 to 13 GOP candidates, but only 4 to 5 that will poll even at 2%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think you asked the glass jaw question. I think Ron DeSantis has the glass jaw.
That's what I mean.
Because he frustrates easily. He does not take criticism. I just think about that time when he was going up to walk up to the podium with these kids behind him and talk about a bill, and these kids were wearing a mask, and he yelled at them to take the masks off.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
He does not have a good temper, and Trump knows it, and Trump will exploit it. But here's a really quick question, and we'll look at more text. Do you think Paul Ryan will jump in the game? Because Paul Ryan's been on, he's written a book. He's been on the shows. He's denounced Trump. He's talked about how we need a new strat. They need a new strategy. Does big old loser Paul Ryan make a go for it?
He is making way too much money being on the board of Fox. But on earth would he even bother?
Because
you're right. Because he hasn't killed Social Security yet. That was the other big thing on his wish list.
Well, that is an interesting point. See, this is why politics is so fun.
It's better than sports sometimes.
If Trump were to win the nomination, would someone like, I don't think Paul Ryan, but would Liz Cheney run as an independent to sabotage him?
I'd give to her campaign if she did that.
and she would be tough.
Yeah.
I would love to see what they throw at her and how she would come back at them.
It's such a weird upside down world to be at a place where you're cheery, like for people like the three of us to be like, all right, Liz Cheney.
Do you want to get in the crosshairs literally of a man who shot a person in the face? No, you don't.
Someone who worked for him.
Yeah.
Like,
and he apologized.
Not an enemy.
And he apologized to Dick Cheney.
My face got in the way of your gun. Yeah. That was wrong of me.
This is obviously your fault, man. Yeah. One more text from Nick Baker on the live stream, which you can always find on As Goes Wisconsin, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Nick Baker says, how will Nikki Haley being in the game affect those considering running on the Democratic side? I mean,
I don't think anyone's going to run.
As long as Joe Biden, I don't think anyone's going to try to Joe Biden.
I mean, you could have some people. There can definitely be somebody who primaries him, but
you mean have to or
Would want to?
Would want to is different than does.
But no. I mean, I think that right now where we're at, Joe Biden's got that nomination locked up because nobody's making waves enough to be considered. No Democrats coming out against him in a big way to get noticed. So who is going to really try to primary him? Except for my thought is maybe like a very progressive candidate who is just doing it as I want to
name recognition.
I want to get this stuff out there. I want Joe Biden to answer for where we think he's failed as a Democrat. So,
but you think about how the power of the party of party politics and how they would have absolutely, I mean, it would have to be someone incredibly rich.
And it would have to be outside the scale. It'd have to be a business person who's saying like, I'm going to put my hat in here. Because honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen the Democrats more united.
And that's where I was going to end it before we have to go to break. And when we come back, because this, it's such a weird thing to see how on the state level and the national level, Republicans being in disarray versus, how united Democrats look. So when we come back, we will talk about some of the sloppiness that is happening between conservatives in our state. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
ABC News. I'm Andy Field. A U.S. official confirming two people dead after a Black Hawk helicopter belonging to the Tennessee National Guard crashed onto an Alabama highway. El Paso, Texas police say one person has died and three others hurt in a shooting at a local mall. Buffalo supermarket mass shooter Peyton Gendron sentenced to life in prison without parole. It was an emotional hearing that included victim impact statements from family members of the 10 black residents killed.
In the end, the judge said that there would be no mercy, that his crimes were too cruel, too heinous, and she sentenced Peyton Gendron to what was required, life in prison without the possibility of parole after he had pleaded guilty to domestic terrorism.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Michigan State University campus gathering for a vigil for the victims of a Monday night mass shooting.
To my fellow students, my wonderful, amazing Spartans, it is okay to not be okay right now.
This is ABC News.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
To me, because I am the judge, and you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't sit down to wonder square. I'm gonna lay down the law that better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge. He is the
judge. I am the judge. I am not the judge. I am Kristen Bry, host of As Goes Wisconsin. We got Jane Madnair and Mr. Greg Bach because it is Wednesday. And to wrap up the conversation we were having the first half part of this hour about Nikki Haley and predictions for 2024, what were some of the other comments that we're getting, Jane?
Texter from the 608, again, at 844-967-2789. I don't think DeSantis's concentrated message of hate and resentment isn't going to be as palatable without all of Trump's pomp and circumstance. He doesn't have Trump's X factor. The low information voters aren't going to love him like they love Trump. I think Ron's sauce is weak.
Ooh.
That was like poetry right there.
Oh, and a nice one for you, Greg, from the 414. I don't really like turning a politician's name into a joke, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders is awesome.
Thank you.
Do you have anything for MTG? We'll wait.
I'll think on that.
And then another texter says, Gavin, I'm assuming he's referring to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Gavin is the Democratic wild card.
I don't think Gavin's going to run until 2028. I think he's smart enough to know not to put his hat in the ring now.
I feel like he is enough when we talk about career politicians and people who play the game.
Yeah.
That I feel if the party is behind Joe Biden, I feel like it would take someone who doesn't care about risking their relationship with the party.
Yeah, if he runs, he destroys his career. He'll be the California governor forever until he's done, then he'll be a guy. And also, Gavin Newsom comes with, I don't know, I feel like he comes with baggage.
He was
like,
married to Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Yeah.
No, isn't that such a weird break-your-brain fact?
Even though he beat it, he was recalled as governor, which GOP can run on that.
Yeah.
And Democrats would have to run on that, too, if he primaried. The Democrats would have to take time and money and energy to show you why Gavin Newsom isn't the right person to run for president, thus ending his ability to run in 2028 when the GOP was like, look at what all the Democrats said about him in 2024 when he ran against Biden in the primary. I think Gavin's too smart to run now. You know who could run, though? Dianne Feinstein. Because she hates kids. You see that video of her talking down to kids?
What? That was a while ago, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it when they were protesting in the Capitol about environmental stuff?
Yeah, it was climate change, and she just got right in their face and said, like, you
get out of here.
Yeah,
get off my lawn.
Get out of here, kids. You bother me. You whippersnappers.
She's 89 years old. Anyway, just one thing about Gavin Newsom. There is an oily televangelist quality to him that I find disturbing.
Who do you like? Because I do want to get to this article because it's hilarious, but who do you like? Because I think that's kind of the open question, and this is not for 2024. I guess this is in general as far as the quote-unquote stars of the Democratic Party right now.
Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah.
Stacey Abrams.
Girl can't win in her own state, though.
Yeah, but she's up against hard odds in Georgia. I just feel like if she got on the national stage, I don't think she wants it, though, either. I don't think Stacey Abrams wants...
I don't know. I feel like
Gretchen Whitmer is
like,
a very
good. I like Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, me too.
I think she's incredibly smart, and what she's done for voter rights is incredible. But I just feel like it's kind of like, is Beto's time done?
Oh, I think Beto's.
I mean, Beto's now three races in a row that he's lost.
He wasn't able to put it over the finish line this last time breaks my heart, and I find
Beto to be incredible. I mean, I find him to be genuine, which is hard because sometimes he does cringy things, but I think they're cringy because they're so genuine sometimes. Yeah. And I think he does want what's best for Texas, and he believes in a lot of things he says. But as someone who just hasn't been able to get it over the line, in his home state, and the same thing I kind of think with Stacey Abrams compared to a Gretchen Whitmer, who won so handedly. I mean, her numbers in this last election were as strong as Ron DeSantis's were in Florida.
Yeah.
Right? As how handedly she won.
And had the Michigan Democrats not won the entire state as far as like running the assembly and the Senate, I think you would have saw her as a much bigger story in that. But because they all won so handily, that was the big story. Those numbers getting drowned out kind of. But I like Gretchen Whitmer. I would vote for Gretchen Whitmer in a heartbeat. Stacey Abrams, for me, is a dream candidate. I don't think she wants it, though, because I know that there were rumors that she was on the short list to be the VP. And I wouldn't be surprised if she was like, thanks, no thanks. I'm going to take care of my state. Because I think that's where her heart is Georgia. She'll probably spend, if she doesn't run for public office.
She was born in Wisconsin, though. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
She was born in Madison.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Geez, Colin Kaepernick and Oprah was born here.
Oprah was born here. Milwaukee. All right. Well, let's make a transition.
A good one, too.
A good transition. This was yesterday? Yeah. No, this was Monday. This was Monday that Daniel Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel
Great article.
The guy with the dirt on everyone.
The thorn in everyone's side.
And the truth is, I'm not sure what he... It's more of how he tells this story, because this is not unearthing anything that wasn't seemingly public knowledge. But reading this is like a scene from Mean Girls. It's like, it's the back and forth that is happening of the ugliness and the claws out of the two candidates and their camps, really. Because yeah. This goes beyond just conservative Judge Dan Kelly versus Judge Jennifer Doro. And so let's just, I'm going to take it piece by piece. And Jane and Greg, you can give your reactions to the story as it develops.
And, and send us your reactions too on the text line 844-967-2789.
So the name of the article from Daniel Bias, this is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, sparks fly in Wisconsin Supreme Court race after Jennifer Doro's sentence is overturned as too lenient. And can you guess what quintessential Wisconsin crime is at the core of this story?
I mean, I know what it is.
It's not cow tipping.
It's something you can do over and over again and not go to jail, apparently. That is drunk driving.
Yes. All right. So, all right. This is a social media brawl, if there's ever been one, when it comes to not just politicians, judges. The juicy judiciary. All right. So on February 1st, the District 2 Court of Appeals ruled that Waukesha County Circuit Judge Jennifer Doro took it easy on a defendant convicted of drunken driving for the fifth time.
Not the first, the second, or the third. Fifth.
And we learned from Jim Santel a couple weeks ago that this is how the courts work. Sometimes appellate courts look at rulings and send it back saying, try again. So Doro, who is currently running, as we've said, as a conservative candidate for the state Supreme Court, sentenced the individual to probation and 9 months of work release. But the appellate court said the defendant should have gotten at least 1 year behind bars and probably the presumptive mandatory minimum of a year and a half in prison. So the appellate court, Judge Shelley Grogan, who wrote the decision, called Doro's sentence, quote, unlawful.
Dun dun.
As Dan Bias says, ouch.
Yeah, that's, I forgot.
So the problem here, though, is that Judge Shelley Grogan is backing Dan Kelly.
Ruh-roh.
But talk radio darling Mark Belling,
Captain Nasal,
is backing Judge Jennifer Doro. So he has been considered one of her biggest cheerleaders, and he is a conservative talk show host, if you're not familiar. And he went on to attack Judge Shelley Grogan, and because of her
scolding.
And so in the article that he wrote on his website, Belling wrote that Grogan was calling local lawyers to mock Doro and crow about the appellate court ruling. Quote, did Grogan overturn Doro just so she could rip her? Is it ethical for an appellate judge to use her own ruling to score political points against another judge? No one really knows, because no one can think of another appellate judge who has done it. So this is where it took a very... So this is... Granted, in Mark Belling's defense, which you probably would not hear me say very often... He does what we do. He is a talk show radio host who has skin in the game for who he wants to see in there and can tell his audience whatever he wants.
You are gesticulating madly here. This is wonderful.
Everyone who's watching the live stream can really get a show
today.
She's
doing the chicken.
But you would think that the people who are judges, where their position is supposed to be objective, at least in the public eye.
Yeah.
This is where things take a turn. So... Doro's campaign told the Journal Sentinel last week that she would not be commenting on Grogan's ruling because the case had been sent back to Doro's court for resentencing. Then around noon on Sunday, so Super Bowl Sunday. No.
Yeah.
Was it this last Sunday? Yeah. Yeah. Doro's campaign posted Belling's entire online commentary on her Twitter page.
Wow.
This is a Thanksgiving dinner I did not get invited to.
So basically, they pulled out the quote from Belling's article that said, quote, state liberals clearly believe Doro is stronger than Kelly. They are running attack ads against Doro, but leaving Kelly alone.
Meanwhile, liberals are on the other side going, what did we do? What are you doing?
Because there's no, in my view, so far as I understand campaigns and primaries and generals to go, why would liberals be meddling within the primary when they're just eating each other? Like, to me, this is so clearly a Dan Kelly camp versus Doro camp thing. And liberals are like,
it's that gif of the guy who sits back and just eating the popcorn. That's liberals now.
It's John Stewart.
We're just eating the popcorn. Go on.
And why would they spend all their ammo before the real race?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it gets better, doesn't it?
So it gets better. 7 hours later, Grogan, the appellate court judge who quote unquote mocked Doro, took to her own Twitter to offer a rebuttal, an almost unheard of action by an appellate judge. Quote, three court of appeal judges unanimously reversed Judge Doro in State v. Shrierikian. Grogan tweeted, Judges Grogan, Lazar, and Neubauer concluded Doro didn't follow the law and remanded for resentencing. The court decides cases based on the law, not politics, at Judge Doro, Wisconsin, at Mark Belling Show.
Ooh.
That gif is Bryan Cranston dropping a mic right there.
So, this is exactly, so this was Super Bowl Sunday, because then Vice writes, this is what you miss by watching the pregame of the Super Bowl. So, and I think it ends there, because then it starts to get into the actual case of the woman. I think it's Delafield.
Meanwhile, the lady is like, am I going to jail or not? What's going on here?
Is a 50-year-old, Delafield resident who's been arrested for drunk driving for the fifth time. And my thing about getting arrested for drunk driving is that means that's only the times you were caught.
Correct.
And not how many times you're actually drinking and driving.
Oh, yeah.
But she told officers that she had been drinking wine, vodka, and tequila earlier in the day, and she had a blood alcohol level of 0.299, nearly four times the legal limit. And I feel like we now can go in two different directions, because I think there is a whole conversation to be had around drinking and driving, and I think the leniency that it is often showed. But if you have immediate reactions, we'll keep this on the other side, because it took a little longer than I thought to get through this story, but it's a wild story. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
Come November election time, you vote your way and I vote mine. Cases are tied and the money gets spent. Vote for Pigmy, not for President. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I...
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss him. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 23 overnight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow tomorrow. Highs level off around 26. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to around 12. Clear skies. About an inch of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 32.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me, you have knocked me off my feet again. Got me feeling like a nothing, you. With your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded, you. Picking on the weaker man.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And Mr. Greg Bach is here.
I am here.
Because it's Wednesday. And we are continuing the conversation of the messiness that we only get six more days of, unfortunately, because unless something happens that would be wildly unexpected.
Crazy wild.
I do not see either Janet Protasiewicz and Everett Mitchell getting through next week's primary, or Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro getting through next week's primary. It's probably going to be one from each side of the aisle. So we only get six more days of this messiness that is happening between the conservative camps in this otherwise nonpartisan race. But we are reading some of your texts of people who also have thoughts on the Dan Bice story printed this week.
Again, 844-967-2789 is the number to call and or text from the 262. While Doro might have handled herself well in a courtroom in Waukesha with a parade of attackers, she's showing she's out of her league being on a big stage and under a microscope. She apparently has no discernible qualities needed to run a race like this.
That's what I said 2 weeks ago to the gentleman from, remind me of his name, the professor.
Jim Santel?
Yes. I said, you know, she's been, someone just grabbed her by the cape, threw her in the race, like, you're running.
I mean, Dan Kelly is the one who wears a cape, but whatever.
I'm sorry, the robe. I was going to say cape.
He does wear a cape, though.
Oh, my God. We're doomed.
And then we had Joseph McClear also said, cripes, if the statutes lay out a mandatory minimum for a charge and the sentencing judge goes below that minimum, that sentence is unlawful by definition. There's no political bombs being lobbed when an appellate judge overturns such a sentence and sends it back for resentencing.
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, Mr. McClear. I'm saying that right here. I think the big thing for us, though, right now is the fact that it became a public outcry on talk radio. And the fact, I don't think that judges should be allowed to have Twitter accounts. They should not be. This is not, to me, if I'm the lady who's arrested, I would go to my lawyer and be like, this became a public thing, and who I'm a puppet in an election now, so I would like the case dropped, because there's a lawyer who would take that on. I know that. For I mean, there's 10,000.
Gruber would take that.
When he pays us $1 for this show, we can start saying what cases he will and will not take. But yeah, I think making hay out of this story between two judges and a very popular talk show host. Does she have grounds to have the case thrown out? Because, like, I don't know. I just don't think judges' campaigns can have Twitters because they got a campaign. But I don't think judges should be saying anything. And she doesn't do herself justice by saying anything out loud. Let it be. If you were confident in the ruling, make the ruling, throw it back down to Doro, and shut up about it.
No, I agree. I just, I do agree that judges shouldn't be on Twitter because it's kind of weird. But it's all, has there been, Jane, I don't know how much you followed it, but as far as the different conservative talk show hosts, has anyone been as outspoken about either candidate as Mark Belling is going to bat for Doro?
I don't think quite that outspoken.
Because it was interesting when we had Dan Schaefer here last week, who's been following all of this closely, that it's kind of, there's camps again, right? Like in the same way that we saw a Michaels camp and a Clayfish camp in the midterms, that there's now these camps of Doro versus Kelly and like the media, the conservative media, like where is Wisconsin right now? Who I know they were very much in the Clayfish camp. So I haven't followed them enough to be like, where are all these allegiances falling? And it still just goes back to what we talked about last week, which is the, you know, the establishment media being the Cap Times, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Like clearly they have not taken a side on this because that is not their job.
Right.
Which is the telltale sign between shows like this, shows like Mark Belling, outlets like Wisconsin Right Now that have an agenda versus telling you the news. So it's just a reminder there. But Joseph's back with, I might agree with the judges shouldn't be on Twitter idea. But then again, I might one day have a case before that judge. So allow me to say on here that she can do whatever she wants.
Very, very judicious Mr. McClear.
Good man.
Very wise.
Guy who knows how to navigate a court.
I brought you an apple, Judge.
But yes, so I will be sad when this is over. That's all I have to say as far as watching this this infighting. But I also have no, I mean, because they really, Marquette Law School polling hasn't done anything. As far as if you think about in the lead up to the midterms, I feel like every month we were getting a new poll as far as who was polling which way between Evers for the governor's race and the Senate race.
But how interested are they in a judicial primary?
But this is I feel like this is a unique primary.
I think they're going to get more into it when after the primary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when they're going to throw the money into the polling because that's where
I'm sure the campaigns are doing polling,
oh, yeah,
but as far
yeah.
as the public yeah. polling as far as for us to go back and look at it.
And this is a good point to remind folks, you want to go vote next Tuesday.
Yes. Or you can vote now.
Yep.
I mean, in many places Milwaukee, Madison, early voting has already started. It's always hard to give voting advice in this state because each community is a little different, but you can go to myvote.wi.gov and find out if the early voting is in your area. Also where your polling place is, what's on your ballot. If you don't know what else is down ballot for the primary, if there's a mayoral race, if there is common council or city council, aldermanic races, so check that out. Make a plan to vote between now and 8 p.m. next Tuesday, February 21st. And that will round out the first hour of As Goes Wisconsin. When we come back, I'm so excited to talk about this meaty story because it is. It's meaty. Sorry. You don't like that word?
It's a juicy, meaty story. Go on. That's fine. No, it's fine.
It's about a Bitcoin or like a cryptocurrency like mine that was taken over in a old paper mill, which are all across Wisconsin. And it's a conversation. It's a story about cryptocurrency and its validity, about what to do with all these empty manufacturing and paper mill buildings, and also about migrant workers and how they're treated. Like there's so much here. We are going to be talking to the authors of that investigative report when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned. Down that road, and you don't know what you don't know. Someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is me. Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Why you gotta be so mean?
Mean.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's gonna dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.